Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is May the 6th, our Wednesday. I think it's still your, it's your Thursday, huh?
Yep.
Garrett here, joined by Brad and Wade. We have been talking about VTOL aircraft and three-story giraffe vomits in the green room. So maybe someday we'll let you guys in on what happens before the show.
Yeah, but yeah.
The amazing lengths we go to prepare for this show.
Happy Revenge of the Sixth, everybody.
Yeah, Revenge? No, it's supposed to be... It is Revenge of the Sixth.
Yes, it is.
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, because you got Cinco de Mayo split into two Star Wars holidays. Happy belated Cinco de Mayo, and may the 4th be with you celebrations.
Yes.
Fantastic. Got that out of the way. Good. How's everybody doing?
I'm living.
Well, that's good after the weekend, because it was questionable for you.
You know, I'm sure that there were quite a... I did have people come up to me and wonder if I was dying.
Yes, you did. I was present for some of those inquiries.
Yes, yes.
Or if you're in England, inquiries.
So reports of my death have been... Or reports of my demise are greatly exaggerated.
Well, not greatly. Just exaggerated.
That was actually
mildly exaggerated.
Mildly exaggerated.
That was actually something with Putin. Like, he was sick and, like, didn't show up for a while, and people thought he was dead. It was the funniest thing.
And they started celebrating. Oh, sorry.
Oh, crap. He's alive.
He's still there.
I mean, yay.
He came back riding on his bear.
No. That's bear chested.
Oh,
bare-chested riding on his bear.
It's all—it's all in the punctuation and grammar. Things get lost in translation.
And his chest is so hairy you couldn't tell where the bear. Anyway,
hey, is that really his chest or his? Never mind. So, Wade, how's everything going? How's the weekend?
It's going pretty well.
Yeah,
still a sleepy weekend.
Did you have a good dinner Friday night?
Friday.
Yeah, you know,
it's the day before Saturday.
Saturday.
God, I can't even remember what the hell happened on Friday. Jesus.
I think I could tell you what you had for dinner on Friday.
Please do, because I apparently have a memory of a goddamn goldfish.
Think it involved chopsticks?
Oh, yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. It was quite good.
The chopsticks were tasty.
All I could say is you should have been there.
Hmm. Yeah. So, Brad and I were at a company meeting all weekend, starting Thursday evening straight through to Sunday at about noon. These meetings, you were expected to be there from roughly 7 in the morning till 9 to 10 o'clock at night. So, I get home Sunday, run a couple errands, and I find chopsticks in the car, which only means one thing. Sushi was had. And I wasn't around to have it.
No, so, you were too busy enjoying, you know, the company function.
Yeah, and that was Friday night, which, as you and I know, was clearly the highlight of the weekend.
Oh, it was thrilling.
Insert copious amounts of sarcasm.
Absolutely thrilling.
Yeah.
I thought that would be Saturday night.
Saturday night was actually mildly entertaining. Friday night... was significantly enraging.
Yes.
Is that about sum it up?
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay, cool.
Slightly insulting, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to fill in some of the backstory? Because obviously you and I know exactly what we're talking about. Do we want to elaborate on any of this further, or...
I do not want to go into too much detail. Suffice it to say that, certain groups in the company were recognized for their outstanding accomplishments, while other groups that have had significant to do with those same accomplishments were completely ignored.
I think that's a fair and safe statement.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who was running around the ring?
So that was Saturday night. which, if you paid the $100 to watch the Pacquiao Mayweather fight, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we are sorry.
You did not get the... I mean, there could be an argument here.
You got value for money, time-wise.
There was value duration, right? The fight wasn't over in the second round, However, the quality of the fight itself was lackluster.
And see, I didn't see any of it. I had excused myself long before the fight started.
Coughing
or just as the fight was starting.
Nah, you would have been there. I think you were at the poker table.
I didn't play for that long, though. I think as I got up, they were just switching it over.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they didn't play all the pre-fight stuff. They only played the actual fight. So as I was leaving, they were just getting switched in.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think they had the Clippers game on or something like that, or maybe some of the work pictures.
Oh, yeah. God, I would hate to have sit through the pre-fight for that.
Well, there's usually like six.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, I guess...
From what I've heard, though, I mean, I think the rules need to be changed. I don't think you should be allowed to win on points. You know, just keep on going until somebody can't stand anymore.
That's an idea.
Round 643, they're still going!
So what was expressed to me previously is that the rule stated that if you... willfully retreated, they would deduct points from you.
Okay.
Now, when that was the case, Mayweather was a nobody. His fights were so-so. He was not a big name. Nobody knew him because his fighting style was to retreat and play the long game. And then they changed the rules of boxing to where it wasn't a penalty. You only got points for throwing punches and connecting punches and no deductions for retreating or whatever. And once that went into effect, again, this is all hearsay, but that's when Mayweather started to be, you know, have a name associated because that was his style. And he started winning a lot because the points he accrued, they weren't taken away. But he definitely, I guess, is not a knockout fighter, apparently. He's a long-term, you know, long-game points
distance
boxer.
Runner.
Sure.
Not distance runner, but he just plays the long game instead of try to come out swinging heavy in the first couple rounds and
you know what I mean.
Potentially getting exhausted. But yes, there are some pretty funny clips online about running around the ring, you know, afraid to engage. So that's the fight. Again, if you like boxing, you're probably pissed. If you don't care and didn't watch it, then congratulations.
You probably did something constructive with your time.
Or not, which is fine too.
I said no probably. Judgment. I did say probably.
No judgment.
Well, even if you did nothing, you're still productive.
You still have, you still have $100.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Very good. Well, I think that we can jump into some movie news, I guess.
Movies. It's movie day.
Movie time.
Here we go.
So we've got five movies to talk about this week. Number one is Hot Pursuit, rated at a mere 17%, rated PG-13. This is with Reese Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara portraying, let's see here. I'll read this direct. In Hot Pursuit, an uptight and by-the-book cop tries to protect the sexy and outgoing widow of a drug boss as they race through Texas pursued by crooked cops and murderous gunmen. This could be hilarious, because Sofia Vergara is quite the character.
Or it could not.
And was fall flat 17%? On its face as 17% would indicate.
Question mark?
Number two, The D Train, rated at 38%, rated R. Jack Black and James Marsden. All his life, Dan Landsman has never been the cool guy. That's about to change. If he can convince Oliver Lawless, the most popular guy from his high school, who's now the face of a national banana boat ad campaign, to show up with him to their class reunion. A man on a mission, Dan travels from Pittsburgh to L.A. and spins a web of lies to recruit Lawless. But he gets more than he bargains for as the unpredictable Lawless proceeds to take over his home, career, and entire life, showcasing Jack Black and James Marsden as indicated. I'm not the biggest fan of Jack Black on screen, but I hear off screen he's like an amazing person. He's, I guess, very intelligent and very humble.
But the game that he made with Tim Schafer was pretty good, too.
Tenacious D?
No, the game.
Tenacious D?
Brutal Legend.
Based on Tenacious D?
Oh, no, this is nowhere near Tenacious. This is not... Oh, it had music based, but...
Wasn't Tenacious D his band? I know he's in a band, or he formed a band.
You're tenacious about... Never mind.
I'm pretty sure it's Tenacious
About
D.
The D? What?
About the D. This is supposed to be a family podcast.
Sorry, door was open.
Yes, it was. Number three, Maggie, rated 56%, PG-13, featuring Arnold Schwarzenegger and Abigail Breslin, who you may know from Little Miss Sunshine. When a deadly zombie virus sweeps the nation, a father will stop at nothing to save his infected daughter in this post-apocalyptic thriller. It's worth noting for this.
Another zombie movie?
Another zombie movie, but this one is produced by Facebook.
Wait, what?
Yes. Apparently Facebook is now a movie studio, and this is one of theirs.
Oh, help us.
If you don't get enough likes, she doesn't survive.
It's a choose-your-own-adventure movie. Oh, that'd be funny.
Nice.
Number four.
That door was open really well.
Yeah, that's hilarious. The 100-year-old man who climbed out the window and disappeared. Yes, that's the movie title.
Wow.
Critically at 65%. It says R.
That was the day the creative writers didn't show up.
Yes, that's correct. And they had to have a title by the end of the day.
That was when the writer's strike occurred.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Based on an internationally best-selling novel by Jonas Jonasson, an unlikely story of a 100-year-old man who decides it's not too late to start over. For most people, it would be the adventure of a lifetime, but for Alan Carlson, his unexpected journey is not his first. For a century, he's made the world uncertain, and now he's on the loose again.
Bum, okay. Bum, bum.
Finally, Playing It Cool, 50%, rated R, with Chris Evans and Michelle Monaghan. While pretending to be the philanthropist at a charity dinner, the man meets a gorgeous woman named Her. The only catch, she's engaged. In order to continue seeing each other, the two embark on a platonic relationship, one that gets pushed to the test as the two begin to realize they may have unrequited feelings for one another. Like a young Walter Mitty, me uses the power of imagination and wild vignettes, there we go, to conquer her heart. Very strange. The characters' names are in first and second person. Actually, first and third person.
Surprised Scarlett Johansson is in this.
Michelle Monaghan's been in a few things. I looked it up. Her filmography is pretty extensive, although I didn't necessarily recognize her from anything super like mainstream or, top end. But she's definitely been busy. To touch base on the box office, we have, no surprise here, Avengers number one at $191.3 million. Yes, the .3 was important.
I hear that's a pretty good one.
I've heard mixed things about it.
Why was the .3 important?
I don't know. I just felt like, it's a three-digit in the hundreds of millions, and yet .3 was still associated.
Look, the gods of Asgard were like, you gotta say it.
Thor came down with his hammer and told my puny human butt that I had to say .3.
He's like, remember, we have a Hulk.
And Hulk smash. Number two is Furious 7 at 6.6. Jeez, no discrepancy from first to second. Number three, Age of Adeline at 6.2 and Paul Blart at 5.9.
I can't believe that's still going.
It's only been out for, 2-3 weeks?
I can't believe that's still going.
Okay, no, you want to be disgusted that something's still going? They're already going to make an 8.
Yeah, it has been confirmed that Fast and Furious or Furious 8 is essentially in the works or planned. I just hope that they look at kind of a reboot instead of a continuation.
Mm.
Like maybe a sister film, but not a following the same line, the same actors. Characters.
What's his name take over? Dom?
That, yeah.
And didn't, I mean, take it in a different direction.
Didn't he say he was going to, like, the last, that was his last one or something? I could just sort of remember hearing that somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they kind of did an interesting deal at the very end where...
No spoilers.
Okay. Are you planning on seeing it, or are you just mindful of the fans?
I am mindful of the fans.
Okay.
I will see it at some point. It is not very high on my viewing list, but I will see it.
Understood.
But mindful of the fans, it is actually still new and in theaters.
That is correct. I do recommend it. It is very entertaining. A lot of action. I was very tense watching it, so...
Now, see, I will not call spoiler alert if you would want to spoil something like who Luke's true father is. I mean, that just...
Oh, no, I can't do that. That no one knows that.
Jar Jar Binks?
Misa thinks you're my son. Yeah. Regarding Avengers, we do have plans to see that this Friday, so firsthand experience expressions will come next week. And with that, into some news.
Some disconcerting news out this week. Fresh from the FAA, that would be the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration. Another advisory on Boeing's much-plagued 787 Dreamliner. This time a software bug that will cause the plane to completely lose control and shut down after 248.5 days of continuous use. The suggested workaround, reboot the plane before then.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So the FAA says the best fix for this situation is press the ONOFF button.
No. Not the fix, the workaround. The Boeing is working on a fix.
It better be, because otherwise... Yeah.
So the root cause of this has been speculated as being very, very sloppy programming. If you take 248.55 days and run the math through, it comes out to 2 to the 31st hundredths of a second, which happens to be the maximum number of integers a standard integer variable can handle.
Okay, can you say that in normal people speak?
I was getting to that.
Back to that.
Sit down.
English.
So, in computer programming, you have to tell the computer how big of a number to expect. Right? When you're working with mathematical problems, you have to tell the computer in advance how big of a number to expect.
How many digits it will allow it to register.
In binary, but roughly, yes.
Sure. Okay.
So there are varying sizes, and the pros and cons are the bigger the size variable you declare, the bigger number it can hold, obviously, but the more memory it takes up.
Sure. One digit versus 16, there's going to be a difference there. Exactly.
It takes up more memory. And when you're trying to be memory conscious, obviously, all of this plays in. Well, it turns out they just chose to use too small of a number variable that only holds 2 to the 31st hundredths of a second in time, which is 248 days, and then the variable completely overflows, and the onboard computer crashes, shutting down the power generators. Nothing major.
Is that all?
Yeah, the generator control units all go to fail mode.
Error 404.
So they've got a
error 404 generator.
Cannot
not
find
found.
Power. Yeah. Wow, that's you'd think a company like Boeing wouldn't take shortcuts like that.
Well, and the crazy thing about it, again, I say the memory conscious, but last time I checked, we're in 2015, and memory is cheap.
Yeah.
Like, cheap.
You got a couple billion-dollar jetliner, throw a few solid states in there, and call it a day.
Someone's running in there with a flash drive. I got it!
A 64-gig USB key. Yeah. Hold on!
I fixed it.
So, hopefully the fix will be forthcoming very soon. I can't imagine that this is that difficult of a fix. Except like us, their industry is very heavily regulated, so I'm sure it will have to be tested extensively now that they know what to look for.
Well, the fact that it got this far into production and essentially release, right? Or is that what this is FAA's evaluation prior to implementation?
No, this was an actual problem that they found after the fact.
Did a plane crash?
Not that we're aware of.
Not that's been expressed in the media.
I believe it was just, you know, on the ground. So I guess we could turn that around and look at the pros.
Okay.
The fact that they found this bug means somewhere at some point there was a 787 that has 248 consecutive days of uninterrupted perfect operation.
That's true.
I agree. Yeah.
Big success there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
The Dreamliner, this is what, one of those double deckers where every seat's a recliner or sleep pod or something? Or
no. The 787 is the new, it's mostly composites. It is a fuel efficient replacement for kind of, I guess, a medium haul domestic jet. So think the replacement for a 737, that kind of size.
Okay, yeah, looks like a, I mean,
Airbus A320.
For all intents and purposes, a pretty standard jet in terms of size.
Yep, absolutely.
Nothing, I mean, I'm looking at some pictures here, nothing too fancy with the visual design. Single level passenger compartment, et cetera, et cetera.
Some of the neat features about it were the modern designs. Because they use composites, they were able to go for bigger windows.
Okay.
On the older jets, the aluminum and the type of glass that they used was not structurally sound enough to go bigger. I mean, obviously they're safe, but they couldn't go bigger.
Yeah.
Whereas with these ones, the change in materials allowed them to go for bigger windows. And supposedly it has a fiber optic-ish style lighting system that's supposedly very nice.
Okay. It looks like, I mean, I'm looking at a picture now of seating inside of it, and it looks like, I mean, it's very fancy, but at the same time, these seats look like it could be a private jet. I mean, it's...
Sure.
I'm sure that might not be the standard... Standard so distributed model.
Be careful that you're not looking at the marketing mock-up versus the 500 million seats that United will pack into it.
There you go. And if you want to own a 787 for yourself, it looks like Lego has a model that may soon be available.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have told me that.
I know. Let's see if we can find more information on that, shall we? Just to piss you off.
And while
it's only
he's doing
a 1,200 piece kit.
1,200. That's respectable.
That's that's cool.
That's respectable.
Final product size is 22.3 inches by 11.1 by 4.1. So almost 2 feet by almost 1 foot.
That sounds like a model I would put together.
There you go.
I'm sorry, I take it back. The 787 is actually a dual aisle, which would make it a wide-body jet.
Yes, so that's what I saw in the seating, but I wasn't sure if that was a standard configuration.
No, so the difference here, the number of aisles is actually coincidental. There's two classes of jet. One's a narrow-body, one's a wide-body. Narrow-bodies have one aisle down the middle. Wide-bodies have two aisles, one down each side.
Sure.
One for drinks, one for peanuts.
More like two for drinks.
Yeah, so the wide bodies tend to be used in the longer haul market, so cross-country.
I remember...
Maybe to Hawaii, that kind of thing.
Yeah, when I went to Australia, it was a dual aisle.
Yep.
So it looks like you can get this kit for a mere $400 on Amazon that may or may not be used. Or new, but looks like it can go up to maybe $900.
Whoa.
Yeah. So just a little, couple bucks. It's fine.
Now, working at an airport, how soon will we see these things?
They have been in operation for 2 or 3 years, I believe.
You probably won't see them at John Wayne because they're not doing international flights there.
And John Wayne is too small to accommodate them, I believe.
I don't know. composite material on the whole, it's probably fairly light.
No, and it's not like, the lightness that's the problem. It's the length of the runways.
But if it's lighter, it should be able to take off quicker than a conventional material construction.
You would think that.
Yeah, I would think that. I mean, that would be the engineer mindset in me.
In the United 787-9 configuration, there are 252 seats.
Okay. As opposed to a standard or narrow-body plane?
A narrow-body... Hold on, let me find you a narrow-body.
Is there any indication of how this bug was found?
No, there actually isn't, which is a surprising thing.
Someone's hiding up
ready to take off on the runway and...
Hit the brakes, hit the brakes.
Yeah.
Still
not awesome.
A 737-900, which is a narrow body, has 20 first class and 159 economy, so 179 seats.
So you're picking up almost another 100 bodies in the wide body.
Yep.
Cool. Well, we've beat that thing to death.
747-400, which is a giant one. I want to say it's 300 passengers. 350 passengers.
Okay. That is big.
Yeah. That's a jumbo jet.
Yep. And it's actually massive.
They are. They're one of my favorite planes.
What is it again?
I take that back. They are my favorite plane.
What model is it?
Boeing 747-400.
I was looking at the 737, and I was like, that's pretty bland. Yeah, the 747-400's massive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
It's a quad turbine.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, Wade, you've got something for us.
Well, going from software that's in the air, going to more on the ground... Specifically, the Mortal Kombat 10 patch that was released on Cinco de Mayo.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Yeah, I think someone had a little too much tequila on this particular day and released the patch that wipes all player save data on PC.
No.
So everyone that spent the time to unlock all the characters had to go back and do it all over again.
Keep in mind,
oh no,
this was a 15 gigabyte patch.
Holy crap.
Oh no.
That's not awesome.
What the heck?
The patch was temporarily removed until the issue can be resolved.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, it was, which then has been put out earlier this morning, as in the time of this podcast was recorded. This being yet another 15 gigabyte download.
Jeez.
To back out the patch. Or a patch for the patch is another 15 gigs.
This has caused some users for a combined total of a 60 gigabyte download.
For the game
That's
itself.
Ridiculous.
Game plus two patches?
In patches.
Jesus.
That's ridiculous.
Good job, guys.
I don't...
This was by High Voltage, by the way.
I don't understand why these... Okay, maybe someone can educate me a little bit, but I'm not...
Be happy to.
...grasping why these games need to be that big. I mean, Mortal Kombat's graphics are... They're decent, but you have set areas to play in. It's not an open world like Grand Theft Auto. You have set players that have set moves. I guess I just don't... comprehend why these games are so big.
I'm actually really surprised, considering we talked about the transaction model of this game a while back, and people haven't really brought up that issue. It's like, yeah, are you wiping my data on purpose just so I go and have to pay to reopen the entire crypt?
That's a good point.
You know, I just... Jeez. So the reason for the bloat in games nowadays is generally the quality of the game art. Pictures and videos take room, and a lot of it, especially with us demanding higher and higher resolutions at faster and faster refresh rates.
I get that. And I understand, although I don't like, but I understand why a game like Grand Theft Auto is so big, because you got a huge world to generate in a live, you know, without load screens or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But with Mortal Kombat, where all you do is you enter into a fight in one of a handful of set arenas, I imagine. I can't imagine there's too many of them. And you have set characters. So, yeah, I understand there's art to be rendered and all that, but it's not like it's a massive map that you're generating that you have to generate real time.
Sure.
So, I, you know, compared to something like Grand Theft Auto, I'm just not getting it.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, anyway.
I don't know why the game is that big in the first place.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah.
Confuse. I mean, I'm totally. Very much confused.
So, I know.
Just wondering how this is going to affect it. Are they technically able to send save data back? Because I thought save data would be on the customer hard drive.
Depends if it's networked in DRM and saved to the cloud.
You know, and saved to the cloud and cloud storage and DRM. And funnily, you should bring that up.
It's probably by Steam, which is an online only app, so it probably
Steam?
Would.
Steam? Doesn't control
this. This was for Mortal Kombat on the PC only. I guess I should have said that.
Steam's not the publisher of that. Right. They're just a distributor. It's like GameStop. Steam wouldn't have the save data.
Yeah.
It would either be... Well, who's the developer for Mortal Kombat?
High Voltage.
Okay. And publisher?
No idea.
Okay. Let's see if we can find that out.
I wouldn't say that Steam definitely would not. I would say they most likely do not.
The publisher was Warner Brothers.
Yep, Warner Brothers, and developers was NetherRealm Studios and High Voltage Software. So
but,
unless one of
when
those...
When you distribute
three,
through Steam, they do have a measure of control.
They might. I doubt that they're saving people's save data, though.
I doubt it.
They may
but that
save
doesn't mean they can't.
Record what version you might be playing on. Versus updates and whatever, because they push updates to you.
They sure do.
But unless, to me, unless Warner Brothers, NetherRealms, or High Voltage is saving your save data to the cloud, and that you have to log in to PSN to play, then it should be saved locally. And if it got wiped, then NetherRealms has
luck.
Something to an apology to make.
I hope you like playing Mortal Kombat 10, I guess.
If you liked playing it the first time, you will love unlocking everything again.
That's right. Now, speaking
new
of Steam...
New from High Voltage, it's the same game.
No, that's Nintendo.
All over again. Yeah, well, I mean, Mortal Kombat, I mean, aside from graphics, pretty much the same thing. Now, I heard that Steam's going to start having a competitor.
Oh, yeah. Things GOG. Good
GOG.
Old games. I remember they were a service beat to begin with, but I think they kind of stepped up.
Yeah, GOG Galaxy is a new game distribution. For PC, blah, blah, blah. GOG Limited.
Blah,
anyway,
blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah. Much like Steam, but apparently they allow, whereas Steam forces you to update when an update is available, GOG allows you to choose and allows you to revert back to an older version if, you know,
problems
maybe
arise.
Yeah, if the new version's got issues, and supposedly they've got well over 1,000 titles to choose from. So, if you're looking for a competitor to Steam or just want to see if they have something different, check out GOG at GOG.com.
Will do.
GOG.
This will be a wake up call for Steam, I believe.
Well, you know, I don't see that as a bad thing.
No.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think they're doing a bad job, but I'm a big fan of competition.
Yeah, sure. Well, we've said, you know, competition in the marketplace is always a good thing.
Yep.
Yes,
I mean,
it
you've
is.
Got things like Origin, but that's exclusively EA.
Right.
So to have somebody that's third party that can distribute some of the stuff at either better deals or better support for the gamer, then I give
go.
It two thumbs up for sure.
Let's go.
And with let's go to the next topic.
Yeah, with let's go. So we've talked in the past about how we keep getting faster and faster with electronics, and we're starting to reach kind of some hard limits. Well, except we're not. I like limits, you know?
Do you?
And I know I've said that before about various other things, but when in science and technology we reach hard limits, it just inspires people to go out and create something different. You know, we get stuck in a rut of doing things the same way, and we lose our creativity until that thing ends and we have to figure out what the next thing is.
Theoretical physics, my favorite kind.
There you go, mine too. So, this just in, from our friends at Cornell University, the next generation of electronics may not be created as much as they're grown.
Oh?
This is bio stuff?
No, not bio. It's minerals. But chemists at Cornell have been able to grow mineral crystals in defined and reproducible patterns so that they can start to create electronic components that are 3 atoms thick.
3 atoms.
3 atoms.
That's going to make counting inventory a pain in the ass.
Thankfully, I don't have to do that.
Nor I.
To get it.
Sorry, warehouse guys.
Yes.
Okay, but where this comes into play now is the way things like CPUs, integrated circuit chips, so CPUs, GPUs, anything that has a lot of circuitry built into a chip. The way that's created right now is through a process called optical lithography, where they take silicon wafers, and it's a subtractive process, right? They take silicon wafers that are covered with conductive material, and using very strong light, i.e. towards the laser range, they burn, and a magnifying glass, they burn away the material that isn't needed.
Okay.
And they've been able to achieve components that are microns across, thousandths of an inch.
Yes.
But we're getting to, and this is where the limits come in, we're getting towards the lower end of that, right? Where it's getting to the point where there's only so far you can focus the magnifying glass. And so they've already been talking about, well, what do we do when lithography no longer works? What's the next step? Well, apparently instead of subtracting material, you grow it from scratch.
And then you can stop it at any stage of the process.
Exactly.
You make the base product built minute to suit it.
So we're not talking about the size of the individual components is 3 atoms thick, but that's not what you're going to get. The average processor now has hundreds of millions of transistors built into it. So, yes, each transistor may very well be 3 or 4 atoms thick, but by the time they're done building the entire CPU, it's going to be, you know, about the size of your thumbnail and going to contain, you know, on the order of 1 billion or 2 billion components.
Take
a drink. That was a billion with a B.
Hashtag scary.
Hashtag implants. Hashtag.
Hashtag cyborg.
Mental augmentation. There you go, cyborg.
That's the word I was looking for.
It's going to get even more cool even more quickly.
I mean, think of components as that small, and it's pretty likable that we're getting to that point where we're putting, you know, lysine detectors inside our own, you know, forearms.
Well, they've already gotten living machines is not the right word, but nano machinery where they can inject into your bloodstream, and you know they already have sensors in the size of a pill that you can swallow, and it senses everything as it passes through you. If we're getting to the point where it's that small, then how long until we become hybrid creatures?
Yes.
Not just for a purpose necessarily, but just as we are, you know, we just accept as a way of life that there are little robots in our bloodstream running around.
So what if you created little micro nanobots that focus solely on cell repair?
Uh-huh.
And since aging is a result of cells dying and not being reproduced at the same rate, causing degeneration, you have little bots that prevent them from dying.
And now we live forever.
And now we live. We are gods.
It's getting scary close.
So, taking that to even more of a more fun sci-fi aspect.
Yes.
What if, instead of Earth being invaded by extraterrestrials, that we are the extraterrestrials invading other planets? What if we are the super intelligent beings that we fear so much in 50, 100, 150 years from now?
It may not be that long.
True. We're already looking at colonizing Mars. What's next?
Waiting to be able to change my arm into a gun? Is it?
Wade wants to amputate his arm.
No, Nanobot rewriting the molecules in my arm. It's like, transforming it right back.
Shoots blood.
Nice.
Oil slick.
The only downside, not the only downside, but one of the major downsides I can see to this, though. Let's hope the programmers do a really good job, because I don't want to have to reboot my bloodstream every 248 days.
Let's go into cryo sleep for 2 years to reset the computer.
I mean, jeez. From a tech standpoint, this is cool, but as a human, this is just freaking scary.
Yes, because we know how crappy other humans are.
Yep.
No, but it would be really worse if, like, Nether Realms and High Voltage got into it. Patch 5, all memory deleted.
Mama? Is that you?
Format brainstem.
Yeah, that hashtag scary comes back into play.
Absolutely. So, it's funny you should bring up the whole alien interstellar universe theory.
Is it? Is it funny I brought that up?
Well, it's interesting.
Okay.
This is completely off reservation. We did not talk about this in the green room, but I have heard it postulated that, you know, we've been monitoring for extraterrestrial communications for decades now.
Yes.
And to our knowledge, barring some grand government cover-up, we have not heard anything.
Yes. I agree to that.
What if the other cohabitants of the universe are sufficiently more advanced that they already went through the NSA crisis on their planets and figured out centuries ago to encrypt everything? A sufficiently encrypted radio signal would sound like static.
Yes, which is what we hear when we hear nothing.
Exactly.
Space.
What if we have been receiving alien communications for the last 40 years, but they're so good at cryptography, we've never noticed?
Ah, you're such a jerk for pointing out that very true fact.
We would never know.
We never thought that they'd be so smart to be better at encryption than us.
I know, right?
We just figured they'd be yelling into space and waiting for us to pick it up.
You see, you know those voices that when you record static,
white noise,
and play it back.
We think it's ghosts. No, it's aliens.
It's aliens.
That's their encryption. You play in reverse.
You'll never hear static the same way ever again.
No, now it's gonna horrify me when my TV goes out.
It's encrypted alien communications. Plus the arrogance of us humans to think that they actually want to talk to us.
Well, that's true, too.
Right? Consider what we've done with the planet. There's a very likely possibility that they look down on us with their superior technology and go, why do I want to talk to them?
Or the other flip side of the coin is the Men in Black movies that they're already here. And we're just too stupid to realize it.
No, you see what's going on? They've been watching us, and they're like, they're fighting over which one of their gods is more peaceful.
Yes.
We're done later.
They're killing each other in the name of peace. We'll come back in 100 years, see what's happening then.
Yep. See if you guys can figure it out by then.
Yep.
No? Okay. Later.
So restart the clock.
Wade, you've got something else for us, I think.
Yeah, it's going from space monsters to more fantasy monsters.
I like fantasy monsters.
Yes. For the upcoming May 19th release of The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, a game that I am actually quite anticipating for.
Because you're going to be kiting?
Maybe, considering what some of these monsters are.
Playing into that Freudian slip that just happened.
CD Projekt Red, the developers for Witcher 3 and its franchise, released a trailer on how to fight some of these monsters. From the regenerative werewolves, you have to use silver bombs on to halt their healing process, to using flames on the drowners who live in the swamps.
To me, this kind of sucks, actually. You're
What way?
Well, pre-release, they're kind of giving everybody a guide of how to be more efficient in the game and totally killing the learning curve aspect of figuring it out yourself.
Well, you can't think... Although... You know, use fire against water. Which is kind of reverse, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dehydrate water monsters, I guess.
So, I would offer in the advocacy of the devil that just because you can do a thing doesn't necessarily follow that you should do that thing.
Yes.
Just because the video is there, if you want the learning experience, which I probably would.
Agreed.
Don't watch the video.
I am on that same concept. I will go search something if I'm having an issue with a certain area in the game. I've done it where something's just not making sense in my head. But, for the publisher to release a how-to guide, so to speak, before the game's even out yet is interesting.
But I they've only done, like, a few couple things for, like, three different monsters. On the trailer, I've watched it. You know, judging if they feel comfortable with releasing this, this is CD Projekt Red. To their credibility, they are pretty good people.
Meaning what?
They don't screw around with their customers in terms of DRM and hocus pocus like that. So if they feeling that it's okay to release, you know, here's a little tidbit on how to fight three monsters. You know, that may speak to the variety of monsters in the game.
And I think you raise a good point there, and that wasn't clear from the initial headline reading. How many monsters are there, and they've given you tips on three?
Yeah, we don't know. And I think I've seen at least four
so far. Is the trailer being marketed as a tool on the how-to stuff, or is it just so happened that the trailer contains details that gamers have extrapolated?
It's developers speaking about it.
Okay. So it's being marketed as what it is, not just fandom doing their research, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd be more impressed if it was the fans figuring it out from the video than creating something deliberately, which is why I was asking the question.
Sure.
I mean, I've seen four monsters so far. Three of them, which we've already discussed, being the Drowner, Harpy, and... No, sorry, not Harpy. Griffin. And the Werewolf. So... And there's another one that I'm not sure what they call it, so...
Okay.
It could speak to how variable is the monster basically catalog going to be. This is going to be an open world game. So we could have just hundreds of creatures to go up against. And keep in mind, we're not just fighting monsters, we're also fighting people.
I see.
And it also does speak with the what's it called? The fighting style, or the fighting mechanics of the game, where you have, let's say, you have choices to use these things. If you don't want to, don't.
Yep.
So it sounds like there's going to be plenty more to come.
There should be plenty more of stuff to do rather than what they've, these three little hints they've given you.
But the game comes out, what, this week, next week?
May 19th.
Very good. A couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I wonder if more videos will follow.
We'll see.
We shall see.
Okay. Brad, do you have anything further?
I do have one more. In a rather failing news article, CNBC reported on a break-in to a Apple developer's home in Cupertino.
Oh?
Yes. In this break-in, the burglars stole an iPad prototype, so that would be, I'm guessing, the iPad Air 3.
Now, saying this, was the break-in in air quotes?
No.
Was it a staged break-in so that Apple could get free publicity for the next iPad?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay.
They stole the prototype. Okay. They stole some prescription drugs. They stole $7,500 in cash. And CNBC buried in the article after lamenting about how the iPad test model was stolen, that, oh yeah, they kidnapped the guy.
Oh, well, you know, that's not really that important in the grand scheme of things, I guess.
You know, not whatever. People, you know, they're a dime a dozen.
Life, money, product. Yeah, stick with the money and the product first.
In the pursuit of happiness? What?
So, yeah. Apparently, they since went back and re-edited the article to put emphasis where it was due.
That's very nice of them.
You know, actually, the people are the most important aspect of this story.
Yeah. I guess they thought that someone getting abducted wasn't nearly as catchy as next generation iPad stolen.
Exactly.
I guess people get abducted every day, so...
Yeah, whatever.
You know, what makes this guy special?
What we call that? Clickbait.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Or ignorance.
Or
clickbait infers that they actually thought this through and intentionally did it this way.
You don't think that was the case for more screen time, and then only once they got called out on it, they adjusted?
Oh, it's entirely possible.
Okay.
I think it's also just as plausible that they just didn't care. It's a tech journalist. They're writing about the tech, not the people.
That's
not that they're heartless. I don't want to infer that they're heartless, but that wasn't the focus of their article when clearly it should have been.
Sure. Understood. Okay.
Fortunately, the person has been released and is doing fine.
Provided the captor got to keep the iPad.
That was his list of demands, prescription drugs and the iPad.
Let me keep the iPad and leave me alone and I'll let the guy live. Fantastic.
So, yeah, marvelous. People are wonderful.
Their review of the iPad will be up next week.
That would be hilarious, actually. And that's how they've tracked down the kidnapper by freaking online.
Who reviews iPad. It first?
Yeah. That's pretty bad. Well, cool. Wow, we kind of jumped all around from nanotech to space travel. That was weird. And awesome.
Yes, sir.
And, but yeah, I think that just about wraps it up. We're about 55 minutes now, so we won't keep people any longer than we need to. And without anything further to add, we'll see everybody next week.
keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.